go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11. I want to tell you, it's so awesome. It's so awesome to be your pastor, but it's so awesome to be your pastor with other ministers who are on the same page, with other ministries who are on the same page. What I love about Start Baptist Church is that our children's ministry and our student ministry, they're planting the Word of God in the hearts and minds of our children and our students. And then you look at our women's ministry, and you look at our men's ministry, and what is their goal? Their goal is to tell others about Jesus and to share the love of Jesus with anybody and everybody they come in contact with. You look at our senior adult ministry, and you might say, well, what is their goal? Their goal is to love people with Jesus and to show people Jesus and to pour Jesus into the hearts and minds of anybody they come in contact with. And really, that's the goal of the church. You know, people ask me all the time, who is Start Baptist Church? What is Start Baptist Church? And I like to use three words. You've heard me use these words before. I'm going to continue to use these words because I think they're very important. We are a church that is connected. Connected. We are connected to God, and because we are connected to God, we are connected to one another. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, and we are joined together by God. We are connected to God, and we're connected to one another, which means we can move as one in purpose. We can, and I believe we are. Well, what is our purpose? Well, that's the next two words. The first word is connected. The next two words are love and serve. That's who we are at Start Baptist Church. We're a body of believers connected to God, connected to one another, and our goal in this community, and our goal if we go anywhere as individuals and as a corporate body, is to love God by loving people and to serve God by serving people. And I'm just telling you, what we saw this morning through baptism is we saw a mama and daddy who loved their children and planted the Word of God in their hearts and their minds. And we saw them come to church, and we saw a children's ministry and a student ministry nurture and cultivate and develop that seed that was planted. And we saw two individuals make a choice for themselves to choose Jesus. And their lives are forever changed. But it's so cool when the church body comes together, right? Comes together and celebrates that. And now as a church, what we want to do is we want to disciple those new believers. And so we've got a lot to do at Start Baptist Church. We got so much to do that we can't just come in here and sit on Sunday morning for an hour and a half and go, well, I did church today. No, you did not. Church is every day. And church is not defined by these walls. It's defined by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who lives in you. And then you live that word, you live that light out loud. And I believe we're going to see that today in the scriptures. Now, I want to ask you a question, and it's not a trick question, and you may answer yes and you may answer no, but have you ever prayed for a sign from God? All right, so a lot of you said yes, okay? So think about that question. Have you ever prayed for a sign from God? At some point, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, we've asked God for some kind of sign that we would know He was working in our lives, that we would know which way to go, right? Maybe it was marriage. God, are you sure this is the one I'm supposed to marry? Now, if you're asking that question, just keep praying and be patient, okay? Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was a job, right? Lord, is this the job I'm supposed to take? Lord, is this the place where you want me to spend the rest of my life? Lord, give me some kind of sign, right? We do that. And you know, maybe it's family, maybe it's work. Whatever it might be, there are many times in our lives we just want God to speak to us. And we want God to speak to us through a sign. I remember one day, I was riding with Katie Beth. Yes, I trust her driving, you know, because either way, I'm going to be with the Lord forever. But anyway, Katie was driving, and we were riding, and it had just rained a little bit, and she's not a real rain person. And so I almost asked her if she wanted to pull over and let me drive, but she was doing a good job, so I didn't. But I looked out of her window, out of her, the driver's side window, and I looked, and I was like, man, that's a rainbow. That's a full rainbow. And for me, that was God's sign. Everything's going to be all right. Not only that, I said, Katie, that's a double rainbow. I said, I'm doubly blessed. God's going to keep me alive, and he's going to do something good for me in the future, right? Now, I was teasing, of course. I was kind of joking, but at the same time, don't you know that that rainbow was created by God? And don't you know in the Old Testament, he said that rainbow was a sign from him, right? Now, I'm not going to preach that message today, but what I want you to know is that God can and God does speak through signs. He can and he does speak through signs. Theologian David Beck says this. He says, signs can point observers to the knowledge of God, such as the events that happened in the Exodus. If you'll remember, God used signs in the Exodus. And he used signs for his children, the Hebrews, but he also used signs for those who were following false gods. And so God can speak through signs to anybody at any time. He goes on and he says, signs can reinforce our faith through remembrance of God's mighty acts, such as memorial stones from the Jordan that were to be signs among you. That's in the Old Testament as well. Signs can point to the covenant of God with his people. So let me say this again, right? If you've ever prayed for signs, that's okay. That's a good thing because God can and will speak through signs. We see it all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. But if you remember, in Luke chapter 2, there was another sign that was given to us. So we've been in the Gospel of Luke. If you're visiting with us, we've been in the Gospel of Luke for a long time. And we're going to keep being in the Gospel of Luke for a long time, okay, because it's that good. But in Luke chapter 2, the angel of the Lord actually appeared to shepherds in the field. Now think about this. They weren't asking for a sign. They were just shepherding their flocks out in the field. But guess what God gave them? He gave him a sign. Listen to this. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. But the angel of the Lord said to them, these shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David has been born to you a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Look at verse 12. This will be a what? A sign to you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So I'm going to say it one more time. God can absolutely and does absolutely speak through signs. He does. But I want to warn you as Christ followers, God also speaks to us through his word. He tells us very clearly who we are, whose we are, and why we are in his word. And we don't have to have a sign to know what he says. So we need to be careful with how we treat signs and how we ask for signs. Because when we refuse to believe the word of God, when we refuse to believe the signs that God gives us, then we can get off track. And that's when we'll start believing that God owes us something. Like, I'm not moving until God. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand if you've ever been there, but I think a lot of us sometimes we just say, well, I ain't doing nothing until God does something. I'm going to tell you, God has done something. God has done something. So why does God give us signs? That's the next question. Can God give us signs? Absolutely. But why does God give us signs? Well, God gives us signs so that we can know him, so that we can know him personally and intimately. But here's the truth I want you to see today. In Jesus, he has given us the greatest sign of his love that he can possibly give. There is no sign greater than Jesus, and we're going to see that today. And we will either receive Jesus or we will reject Jesus. But understand this. God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't owe us another sign or more signs. He doesn't. And I'm going to show you in Scripture what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 29, we're going to talk about the sign of Jonah. And it means something, okay? So listen to this. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 29, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, now look at this first statement he makes. This is a wicked generation. Now, if you remember, the crowds had followed him, and the crowds were following him. He had just cast out a demon, right? And so they were following Jesus. They were curious about Jesus. They were interested in what he was going to do next. But most of these people did not believe him to be the Messiah. As a matter of fact, when he cast out the demon, we looked at this last week. When he cast out the demon, who did they say he was or who he was working with? Beelzebub, right? He was working with the prince of demons, the devil. And Jesus said, how could you compare me to him? How could his kingdom stand if he's dividing it, right? And so this is the same group of people. And this is what he says to them. This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south, and he's talking about the queen of Sheba, and I'll get to that in just a moment. He says, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Now, I understand if you don't study Scripture, if it's hard for you to study Scripture, this could be a very confusing passage. But Jesus did not say these words to confuse anyone. He actually shared these words to show us who he is. That's what he did. R.C. Sproul says that Jesus calls this generation a wicked generation, quite possibly because it was a generation and a people who were so blessed by God because of his own manifestation. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. Pastor Sproul goes on to say that divine light was shining on the earth like never before, yet these people, the people of Jerusalem, were unrepentant and unbelieving. Listen to those two words again. They were unrepentant and they were unbelieving. And so Pastor R.C. Sproul says that he believes the reason Jesus said this was a wicked generation is because he is the light of the world. He is God's divine light shining, and yet they are still choosing to walk in darkness. They're still choosing to be unrepentant of their sin, and they're choosing to reject Jesus as Messiah. They think he's working with the prince of demons. They think he's a false teacher. That's what they believe. And so they wanted, right? They wanted more signs. Here's the thing. I don't know if it was hours or days before, but Jesus just gave them a sign. When the man came to them and was possessed by an evil spirit and he was mute, Jesus told the demon to get out. And what happened to the man? What did it say the man did immediately? He spoke. And what did it say about the crowds? They were amazed. But remember what I always tell you. Jesus is not after your amazement. He's after your heart. Jesus is not trying to wow you in this life. He's trying to rescue you in this life. He wants to redeem you. So the crowds were amazed, but guess what they wanted? Oh, give us another sign. Give us more signs. And so Jesus said the only sign he was going to give them was the sign of the resurrection. People ask me all the time, what do you mean the sign of Jonah? I'm going to tell you, the sign of Jonah is the sign of the resurrection. That's what it is. Jesus told his followers in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way. But that's in John 14, 6, but he also told them in John chapter 15, I am the resurrection. That's what he told them. And so Jonah, right? Jonah, in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, he was in the belly of the fish for how many days? For 3 days. And what Jesus was telling them was he was going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. But what happened to Jonah after that third day? He was spit out by the power of God. Amen? It wasn't like, hey, fish. Jonah was in the fish. Hey, fish, it's time to put me back. No. Now, Jonah prayed, but I'm going to tell you what. It was God who got him out of that belly of that fish and put him on dry land. And so just as Jonah, by the power of God, came out of the belly of the fish, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to go into the belly of the earth. They're going to bury me. And I'm going to be there for 3 days. But just as Jonah came out of the belly of the fish, I'm going to come out of the belly of the earth. It's the resurrection. That's what Jesus was pointing to. He said, that's the only sign you're going to be given. That's the only sign you're going to be. Jesus said, I'm not giving you another sign. The only sign will be my resurrection. And then he talks about the queen of the south. Now, again, the queen of the south came from the other end of the earth and listened to Solomon. That's what she did. She went from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth because she wanted to hear King Solomon. And Jesus is telling them, I am greater than Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 10, if you're wondering, in 1 Kings chapter 10, it's also in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. They really are parallel accounts. They pretty much say the exact same thing. It says that Queen Sheba traveled across the world because Solomon was spitting out wisdom, incredible wisdom. He was changing, right? He was changing his land and changing the world because of the wisdom that he was spitting out. Now, here's the thing. Where'd that wisdom come from? It came from God. Because if you remember, the prophet said, pray for whatever you want. And you remember what Solomon prayed for? He prayed for the wisdom of God, and God gave it to him. Now, that doesn't mean Solomon was perfect. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus is talking about. When the queen of the south, when the queen of Sheba traveled all the way to see Solomon, understand this, Solomon didn't give her any signs. He didn't give signs. Here's the thing. He couldn't do that. What he could do was he could tell the truth. He could tell the truth about his God. He could tell the truth in wisdom that God gave him, and that's what made the difference. As a matter of fact, do you want to know how the queen of Sheba responded after Solomon met with her? Here's what she said. Blessed be the Lord your God. That's what she said. Solomon didn't give her any signs. All he did was he spoke the truth and the wisdom that God gave him to her. And it made a difference in her mind and in her life because she said, blessed be the Lord your God. He is real. He is God. And then Jesus, he moves, and instead of talking about the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, he talks about the Ninevites. So let's talk about the Ninevites for just a moment. He says that the Ninevites repented at Jonah's preaching. I mean, he says it very clearly. They repented at Jonah's preaching, but Jesus said, hey, Jerusalem, hey, you wicked generation, I am greater than Jonah. I am what Jonah was preaching about. That's what he's saying. I am the word that Jonah was speaking. See, Jonah chapter 3 tells us that when he preached what God told him to preach, here's what it says in Jonah chapter 3. It says the Ninevites believed God and they turned from their evil ways. So here's what happened. God took a prophet who was a Jew and sent him to Nineveh, the land of the Gentiles. And he preached the word of God, and the word of God is Jesus Christ, by the way, and I'll show you that in a few moments. And it says that the Gentiles turned from their evil ways, and they believed in God. In other words, they repented, and they put their faith and trust in God. And Jesus is saying, if the Gentiles, if the Ninevites, right, did that at Jonah's preaching, here I am standing right in front of you, and you still ask for more signs. You still don't believe. You still are walking in darkness. And so this wicked generation, let me tell you what they did. And let me tell you why they're called a wicked generation. It's because they ignored the word of God. It's because they rejected the word of God. They ignored Jesus and they rejected Jesus himself. And therefore, Jesus says the queen of Sheba is going to be there at judgment. And even her life is going to condemn yours. The Ninevites, the Gentiles that you can't stand, they're going to be there at judgment and they're going to be a condemnation to you because you have rejected me. So here's what I want to ask you two very important questions, okay? I want to ask us two very important questions today. Will we believe in Jesus? Will we believe in Jesus? And then number two, will we repent of our sins? Those are the two most important questions that you will ever be asked. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you repent of your sins? Because here's the thing. That's the only thing that matters in this life. It's not how much money you made. It's not how many kids or grandkids. It's not about your legacy that you leave behind. I'm not saying those things aren't important. But when you stand before God, all that's going to matter is if you believed in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and if you repented of your sin. That's all that's going to matter. He's not going to ask you how many marathons you ran. He's not going to ask you how much money you had in your account. He's not even going to ask you how many people you led to the Lord. He's going to say, did you believe in my son? He knows the answer. Did you repent of your sins? He knows the answer, just like you know the answer. I'm not asking you a question. You go, well, I don't know. No, you either have or you haven't. And so Jesus goes on. They wanted a sign. He said, no, you will not get a sign. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. You're going to get the resurrection. And then watch this. He goes on and he says this in verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. And again, this is a tough passage of scripture to read and understand if you haven't prayed and the Holy Spirit is not stirring you and opening your heart and mind to understand it. But I love this because what Dr. David Jeremiah tells us in his commentary, you have to dig deep and you have to go back and you have to look at who he was talking to. And in this culture and in this day, Dr. David Jeremiah says the ancients, which means that generation, they believed that the eye could create light. That the eye could create light. And if the eye turned bad, then it ceased to create light and it resulted in complete darkness. That's what Dr. David Jeremiah says. When you look at the culture that they lived in, when you look at the ancients, you have to remember what they believed. And they believed that the eye itself was capable of creating light. In other words, the eye itself could see what is right and what is wrong and make a determination for itself. That's what they believed. But here's the truth, and here's what Jesus is telling them. He is the light. Jesus is the light. And if we don't receive his light into our lives, then we are choosing darkness. It reminds me, you know, we're in the book of Exodus on Sunday nights, and we've been talking about the plagues, and we've covered six of the plagues, and one of the plagues that we're actually going to talk about tonight, do you know what it is? It's the plague of darkness. Complete darkness. And in the book of Exodus, do you know how that darkness is described? It's a darkness that is felt. Right? A darkness that is felt. You ever been there before? I have. I used to be scared of the dark. Okay? Now I can't hardly sleep at night if it ain't completely dark. But I remember there was a time when I didn't want no part of darkness. I didn't want no part of it. Okay? I wanted light all around me. But this is what it's talking about. So Jesus, he is the light. And if we don't receive his light, then what we're doing is we're rejecting light and we're embracing darkness, complete darkness. And when we walk in darkness, what we're doing is we're walking in unrepentance. We're walking in unbelief. And that blindness extends, right? It extends from our eyes to our whole life. That's what Jesus is talking about. If you'll remember in this same chapter, if you'll back up and look at verse 23, do you remember what Jesus told this crowd? He said, whoever is not with me is against me. That's what he said. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me is one who scatters. And so if we reject Jesus, who is the light, then what we're doing is we're embracing the darkness. And all throughout the Bible, do you know how the devil and his evilness is described? It's described with darkness. That's how it's described. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. There is no third option. There is no middle ground. I know we wish it was, but it's not. There's nowhere in the Bible where that says there's a middle ground. You are either with Jesus or you're against him. Listen, I know some really good people in this world. I have some friends that are really good people, but they are lost and they are rejecting Jesus. And here's what I'm telling you. They are in darkness. Oh, they can be good and nice to me, and they can treat me with respect. They can even honor me. But if they don't believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are choosing to reject Jesus and therefore are in league with the devil. And I know we don't like to talk about that. Oh, not that good man. Oh, not that good lady. If they don't believe in Jesus, they are walking in darkness. There is no middle. That's what's wrong with our churches today. So we either receive the light of Jesus and walk in his light, or we reject the light of Jesus and walk in darkness. I love the Gospel of John. People ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, you know, I haven't really read the Bible a lot. I want to read it, but it's just hard for me to understand. Is there a good place for me to start? Now, understand, I ain't no professional, you know, theologian. I don't have like 20 degrees and all that stuff. But here's what I know. I love the Gospel of John. And it is a good place to start if you've never read the Bible. Because it's all about the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. And I love John chapter 1. I didn't put this on the screen, and if you want to turn there, you can, because I'm going to read the first five verses of John chapter 1 because I believe it absolutely applies to Luke chapter 11. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1. If you're turning there, great. If not, just listen. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Do you know who that he is? It's Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Jesus was not someone who was created. Jesus has always been. As part of the Trinity of God, he has always been. He became incarnate. He put on flesh and was born into this world as a baby, yes. But he's always been. And that's what this is telling us. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. And listen to this. Here it is, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Isn't that what Jesus just told us in chapter 11? In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the what? In the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's a great passage of scripture. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of all mankind, and Jesus overcomes all darkness. That's the truth of God's word. Jesus, he actually tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, if you'll remember, you know, we used to sing a song all the time, right? This little light of mine. Anybody know that song? What you gonna do with this little light of mine? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. What you gonna do with it? I'm gonna let it shine. I ain't gonna hide it under a bushel. Listen to this, all right? Whoever wrote that song read the scriptures. Because listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He tells us as believers, he tells us as children of God who have repented of our sin and put our faith and trust in him, here's what he tells us. He says, "You are the light of the world." That's pretty cool. You ever wondered who you are? Anybody ever struggled with identity? Who am I? I'm going to tell you who you are. If you're a Christ follower, you're the light of the world. You're God's special possession. You're God's chosen people. You're his holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I somehow get that passage of scripture in every sermon I preach. Anyway, it's a good scripture. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. And then listen to what he says. He says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus says. So the truth is that our eyes cannot create light. Our eyes, like what the ancients believed, was not truth. Your eye and my eye cannot create light. But let me tell you what our eyes can do. Our eyes can receive light. Our eyes can receive light. When you woke up this morning, right? Your eyes were shut before you woke up. And maybe you were dreaming, and that's fine. But otherwise, when your eyes are shut, it gets kind of dark, don't it? What happens when you open your eyes? Light. Hey, let me tell you something funny. So the other day, I was helping Brian out a little bit, and I said, I'm going to throw this away. I don't want Brian to have to do that. So I grabbed some bags, and I went through Hallie Hall, and I went out to the dumpster. Now, the lights weren't on in Hallie Hall. Normally, what I do is I'll flip the lights on. Well, I didn't. I didn't flip the lights on. I just walked through Hallie Hall, and I kind of trusted myself. I know that there's a bunch of tables in there with a lot of chairs, and I had these two bags, and so I just kind of slowed down a little bit and navigated between these chairs, but I saw a little bit of light. I saw just enough light in those side doors to where I could see where I was headed. I'm headed to that door because that's going to lead to the dumpster. So I did that. I got out there, threw those bags in, and man, it was bright outside. Like these days, like when the clouds ain't in the sky and the sun is bright, I'm going to tell you what, it messes your eyes up. It's so much light. And then you go into a room that is dark and you can't see squat. Because let me tell you, I threw them bags away, and I put my key in that door, opened it up, and I turned around, and I shut that door, and I turned around, and I was like, okay, where am I? It took me a few minutes, and I'm going to just tell you something. I'm glad nobody was watching, because I stood there for like what felt like 5 minutes, and I kept blinking my eyes. And finally, the complete darkness began to kind of let up a little bit, and I could see those tables. Because last thing I wanted to do, you know, was look like an idiot and fall face first on Hallie Hall floor, and Andy and them have some kind of secret camera set up, and I find a video of me on YouTube falling on my face. See, I think about those kinds of things. I think about those kinds of things because, you know, social media is destroying us, and they're putting all that stuff out there. But anyway, the truth is that our eyes cannot create light, but what our eyes can do is they can receive light. And the most important thing you will ever do in your life is to receive the light of all mankind who is Jesus Christ. Because when you receive that light penetrates your eye, but it also goes to the core of who you are. It goes to your heart. It touches not just the body, but it touches the soul. And so then, when we say yes to Jesus, when we receive the light of the world, the light of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, he actually gives us the capacity to shine that light. See how cool that is? It's almost as if our eyes can become flashlights, right? We have that great light within us, and now when we open our eyes, we can see people the way Jesus sees them, and we can speak to them the way Jesus would speak to them, and we can love on them the way Jesus would love on them, and we couldn't do that without Jesus. Because when we ain't got Jesus, the only thing that matters is me. My life, my bank account, my position, my title, my name on the plaque. See, when you ain't got Jesus, all you got is you. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants you to be your own God. He wants you to create your own God. He wants you to create your own light. Here's the thing. You and I, we are the created, not the creator. We are the created. All things that have been made were made through him who is the creator, who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But isn't it awesome that Jesus, when we come to him in repentance and faith, he turns around and says, now you are the light of the world. And now you can go and let your light shine. How awesome is that? See, that's why I tell people all the time, and this is a part of who we are at Start Baptist Church. You know, we're a church that connects, a church that loves, and a church that serves. How do we do that? We do that by participating in kingdom ministry and not spectating. Jesus didn't call us to sit down and put a bowl over us. He said, take that bowl off and get out there and shine. That's participation in kingdom ministry, not spectating. Man, we got enough places you can go and spectate. You can go to the ball games. You can go to the movie theaters. You can do all the spectating you want in places like that. The church ain't a place where you should be a spectator. The church is a place and a people where you should be participating. I thank God for the participants we have here. I don't know about y'all, but I was standing there, and I was singing, and I was worshiping, and I saw a child come to this altar. And then I saw another child come to this altar. And then I saw an adult praying with a child, and then I saw adults coming to this altar. And then I saw men and women come and pray with others at this altar. See, that's participation in kingdom ministry. Some of us don't even know what's going on right across the way. In our minds, we're going, I'm glad I'm here and not there. I mean, I have made no bones about it. You put me in a room with a bunch of kids, and all of my hair is going to fall out. And look, I ain't talking about on my head. I'm talking about on my face. Like, I'm going to lose my facial hair. Them kids drive me crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. I love them kids. I do. Vacation Bible School, that was so awesome. Right, just walking around, high five. Look, I'm like a big kid myself. What I was trying to do was get them riled up so they would drive our teachers crazy. I mean, that's just who I that's who I was. I used to drive Don and Sherry crazy in the youth room. I used to drive Mr. Wayne crazy in the Sunday school room, right? But thank God for the men and women who are plugged in and participating in them Sunday school rooms and them youth rooms and in them children's buildings. We need more of them, not just in men's, you know, children's ministry and student ministry. We need them in women's ministry. We need them in men's ministry. So I thought about this. A lot of times when I read a passage of Scripture, and I know the context is Jesus was talking to that generation, and he was talking to that crowd who was looking at him and were amazed by him, and that crowd who had yet, you know, at this point had rejected him as Messiah, and they were just wowed by him and wanted to see him do something else so they could be wowed again. I kept asking myself, what does this kind of scripture, what does this passage mean for me today? What does it mean for Start Baptist Church today? What does it mean for an individual? What does it mean for the body of Christ? And here's what I really came down to, and here's what I want you to get. I think there are a couple of things that we can take away from this passage of scripture and absolutely apply it to our own lives. Here it is. Number one, don't miss Jesus, who is the Word of God, who is the Word become flesh, because you keep asking and looking for signs. People ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, I just need a sign from God. Brother Jeff, I just don't know. I just need God. Here's what you need to do. You need to open up your Bible. You need to open up your Bible. And you need to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is his voice to you. It's his love message to you. And any question you have in this life, he's already given you the answer. Why would he give you a sign if you're avoiding his Word? That's the question I ask myself. Why would he give me a sign if I'm avoiding his Word? If I'm ignoring his Word? So don't miss Jesus. Don't miss the Word of God because you keep looking for and asking for signs. Again, can God speak through signs? I think I've clearly answered that question. He absolutely can, and he does. But not at the sake of missing Jesus. You can find that job. You can find that spouse. You can find that happiness. But if you ain't got Jesus, none of that will last. And you'll spend an eternity in hell, separated from God, because you were so busy looking for signs that you missed Jesus. Be careful. And then number two, don't miss Jesus, who is the light. Who is the light of all mankind, because you keep choosing to walk in darkness. Paul, in one of his letters, Paul says, I know who I am. And I know who I ought to be, but what I find is I find myself being someone I shouldn't be. Paul says, I know what I ought to do, but I don't do it. And I know what I ought not to do, and I find myself doing it. You know what he says? What I find is I find myself every day, my flesh and my spirit battling. My flesh and my spirit battling. And that's the same struggle that we have, right? We struggle, don't we? We struggle between flesh and spirit. We struggle with that Burger King mentality, right? Oh, God, I know who you are, and I know who I am, but this is what I want, and this is when I need it. And so all of a sudden, we begin to tailor our prayers, and it's like instead of asking God for something, we're telling God something. That can happen very easily. And before you know it, right, our light has been hidden under a bushel or a bowl, right? And when that happens, guess what we're walking in? Darkness. And you and I, as Christ followers, we're not supposed to be walking in darkness. We're supposed to be walking in the light, because he who is in the light has called us into that marvelous light, so that our good works might glorify him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, so that we might sing the praises of him who's called us out of darkness and into light. 1 Peter 2:9. Again, I'm not making this up. That's the word of God. That's the word of God that I've planted in my heart. And it's the word of God that I can cling to and turn to when I begin to struggle, flesh and spirit. When I begin to get discouraged, when I begin to get confused, I can always go back to the Word of God. You want to know why? Because the Word of God is light. And the Word of God is life. And that's why I say, don't miss Jesus, who is the Word, because you keep asking God for some kind of sign. Man, focus on Jesus. He is the Word become flesh. He is the light of all mankind. If you focus on Jesus, you got all the sign you need. He is the sign of God's love for you and me. He is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? He gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Man, there's your sign. There's your sign. Focus on Jesus, and you'll have the Word, and you'll have the light. And if you need a sign, guess what? God will give you one. God will give you one. Won't he, Marty? We prayed, but we read the Word, and we focused on Jesus. And as we did that, God showed us some things that we would have never seen on our own. We can only see it by focusing on Jesus.